so hard, just trying to figure it out. Trying to believe God, trying to watch the words in my mouth and stay around. Trouble come and go, even on the mountain high or the valley low. Never let your faith go. Oh, never let your faith go. I've been there before, so confused, don't know which way to go. Stressed out, world so crazy, might as well stay in the house. Fear trying to rise up, got terrorist disguise. They look like us, but we know who we trust.
Good morning and God bless you. Welcome you to this moment of worship, this day that the Lord has made. We are rejoicing and we are glad. I am glad that you have chose to join us here this morning, to be here in person as well, to be here with us by way of our streaming broadcast. God is a great God. He is an awesome God. And together collectively, we stand in agreement that He is our God. Bless His holy name. Thank all of you for being here. And we're sending out our prayers for those of you that have requested special prayers during special times and while you're enduring special circumstances. We believe that God is not only a God that hears prayers, but God is also our God who answers prayers. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to seek a word from heaven this morning, coming to us from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, and verse 11 exclusively. Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, and verse 11. Let us pray, and then we will seek God for His holy word. Eternal God, we thank you so much for so many things, but most of all, God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that have made this very moment possible. God, we thank you for the many things that you have done. We thank you, God, for going before us to prepare for us a way that is perfect. And we seek thee, O Lord, in this hour for your presence to capture us and to rapture us in your love. And treat us with your word. Give us, O God, a bread that is a daily bread. God, we ask for your word that will give us instructions, direction, and correction. And God, it is in our hearts now that we are set to not only hear from you, but to obey you. God, we ask that you will now touch the hearts of each of us collectively as well individually. Where there is healing that is needed, God grant it. Where there is encouragement that is needed, we ask that you grant it as well. And Lord, everything that the individual need from you, we believe you for that thing right now. We ask all of this in the perfect, magnificent, and magnanimous name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you again for being here and joining in with us at this time. And we hope that our prayers are effective. We hope that our prayers are reaching the mark for you and in your life, because I am always praying for you, not only when we are here together and we are in this public setting that I'm praying, but my prayers cease not for you continuously. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is where I've asked you to join me, and I'm inviting you to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 11. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the ecclesia, or that is in its Greek root, the church, or the presenter, the preacher before the assembly. That is where we are, is in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 11. And there it reads in a single verse, "He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end." I'm going to read that same verse from the English Standard Version. And I don't know which translation that you may be reading from, but I'm going to read from both of these so that there can be some sense of clarity from the single verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 11. And it reads here, same verse, "He has set the right time for everything." He has given us a desire to know the future, but never gives us the satisfaction of fully understanding what he does. I want to just briefly, and I do mean briefly today, just address you from a thought. This is just a thought. Perfect timing. Perfect timing. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is all about God's timing, as is the entire book that is given and granted to us by the man of God that we have come to know as Solomon, David's son, who had acquired wisdom at such measures that it is said that he is the wisest man that has ever been created. Meaning that Solomon's wisdom is not consumed in the time as we know it. But even as he arrives in his human presentation, Solomon comes from the mind of God with ultimate and all wisdom. Not only is Solomon well endowed for his wisdom, but Solomon is also endowed for his wealth. He is to have been said to be one of the richest men, with his substance from cattle to concubine, from palaces to territories. Solomon is wise and he's rich. I don't know the relationship fully today between wisdom and wealth, but I'm sure that they are so closely related that it is impossible for one to deem themselves wealthy without being wise. Because wealth within itself has to do with your ability to acknowledge God. It has to do with the individual being directed by God, one whose steps is ordered by God. Now, you may own some things and you may have privilege to some things, but I would argue whether or not you are wealthy without wisdom. Ecclesiastes, as Solomon makes this presentation to us, is all about God's timing. Throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, what Solomon tends to do is he reflects on the vanities of mankind, human life. It's all vanity, and it vexes the Spirit of God. It says that men in the book of Ecclesiastes seem to think that they can buy their way out, or they tend to think that because of their status in life, that they are above God's law. But Solomon says, I've seen all of it, and I return to tell you that it's all vain. Everything. Everything is vain. I've also just concluded in my own philosophical way, and I hope that you respect that, that his presentation is so strong that when it boils down to it, the breath that I breathe and the breath that an animal, be it a dog or a monkey, breathe, means that there is a very small difference between the two of us, because we are breathing the same air. Whether my soul is eternally with God or whether I just go back to the dust, while we are living, we're breathing the same air that is given by the same God. So for me to ever think that I am so superior, I think that I should reduce my thinking to discover that without God, I'm just really nothing. And what Solomon is saying is that God is going to make everything beautiful in his own time. I'm going to say that one more time, and I'm going to take my time. Not that I'm insulting your intelligence, but I want to make sure that you hear me clearly. Solomon is saying that God is, in his own time, going to make not something, but everything beautiful in the appropriate time. So that means now that you would agree with me that God is in control. And he's going to make everything that's wrong right again. If I were to approach this from the very earlier verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, which is so often recited by people who are of the faith and people who are not even of the faith, atheists and agnostics as well, they will often allude to the idea that there is a time for everything. And that's how it starts off, in a cadence of there's a time to love and a time to hate, a time to tear and a time to rend, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, time to love and a time to hate. And with such strong cadence, he goes to from one extreme to the other. There's a time for this, and there's a time for that, and a time for this, and a time for that. And what he does in the earlier parts of this verse is that he kind of leave you where you are just really left with, well, why should I even continue? Because it seems like everything, regardless of what I do, is going to change matters at all. Well, that brings me back to my point at hand. God is in control. He's going to make everything that is wrong right in his time. Hear me clearly. You won't fix it. God will. He's going to heal the sick in his time. He's going to give peace in war in his time. He's going to give deliverance in bondage in his time. And he's going to renew everything that has become complacent, stagnant, and otherwise. In his time, he's going to bring what was dead back again. Now, the way that we view things from our human perspective, and I hope you hear me clearly today, from our perspective, God's time doesn't always seem beautiful, especially when we start dealing with what we call our present time. We know we have some dark moments in our past, and we sometimes reflect on those, but much too often, as people of God, we're thinking that in the very present moment, that's the breath that you take right now, that it's not so beautiful. Things are just too wrong. I think it was Tracy that said one time, and it was so eloquently said, and I thought it was most profound, everything ain't all right, but ain't nothing wrong. seems like she had concluded in some fashion that God's in control.
Yes, he is. Yes,
doesn't mean that I'm good with it. It just means that I accept the idea that God's in control. So if God's in control, then even though everything is not all right, mm-hmm. that just simply means that as far as I can see mm-hmm. or as far as I know.
Yeah.
But there is some consolation. Yeah. There is some peace about the idea of knowing that at the same time, nothing's wrong.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, it can be hard to see things and how things are going mm-hmm. so wrong. And the possibility that at some point, they're going to be redeemed. Got problems on my job, got problems in my home, got problems with my finance, got problems with my health. And sometimes these things are not in of themselves presenting themselves singularly, but they are compounded all at the same time. I'm sick and I'm tired. I'm broke and I'm disgusted. I'm just torn right now. And it seems sometime when it compounds itself and when it comes in such rapid succession and when it comes to us in such a compound way that we feel like, how could this ever be fixed? But can I present to you today that one day we're going to see what God's been doing?
Yes.
It's coming a time when if you just hold on, I like the way that it's written in one place. We see now through a dark glass.
Yes, yes,
we see through a smoke glass, but it is coming and in soon that we're going to see clearly. So when I think about today and I think about timing, there are a few things that come to my mind. And one of them is the verse of scripture that says, give us this day. Let me forget about tomorrow. Let me forget about the future. And let me think about right now. Give us this day our daily bread. The request there is for God to meet your needs at every breath that you're taking right now. It's taking no thought. It's removing all of the anxiety of how this is going to come out. It removes all of the frustration and the aggravation of not being able to change now, nor can you affect the future. Give us this day our daily bread. Do you know that's really a very mature resolve to go to God and say, God, just right now, give us this day our daily bread. You're not thinking about tomorrow. You're not thinking about the years to come. You're just in the very present saying, God, just be God for me right now. And when I look at that, I say, how should I better myself even after I leave here today? How can I better myself? And I want to, and as I share this with you, and this is in closing, I want to share it with you as well. It's like life is like sitting in a waiting room. But if you ever noticed in a waiting room, especially in a doctor's office, that there is always something for you to do. There are magazines and there are TVs. You're not just in an empty room. They have provided for you something to occupy your time. And if you ever look around at a magazine or you take a peer at the TV, if you ever get invested in whatever there is to do while you're waiting, if you ever just give just a moment of attention to what has been provided for you, to you, while you're waiting, at first you open the magazine and you're not really interested. You take a look at the TV screen, and that doesn't gather your interest either. You have an attitude that you really don't want a magazine, and I don't want to see what's on TV. I don't, but if you ever just get invested in what has been provided,
yes, yes, yes.
If you ever take advantage of what is in front of you,
yes, yes.
If you ever forget about what you're waiting on and look at what you have in your hand, you will end up deep into what has been presented to you while you wait. You can actually become interested if you would just give focus to what's in front of you. You could become interested. If I were you, I'd turn to somebody right now and I would tell them, God has put something before you. God has put something in your presence. It doesn't make any difference if you would think about and think on his goodness right now. You would discover that the pain that you're in, his healing is already greater. If you would really look at who God is, your being broke, what God has promised you is really greater. And you've got to just see it right now. You're watching the show anyway, and it didn't intrigue you at first, but low-key, if you just keep on looking, you're going to get tapped in. It's going to draw you in. And the next thing you know, while you are waiting, now they're calling your name. If you really get into it, when they call your name, you're not going to even want to let go to get what you've been waiting for, because now you have become so involved in what you have while you're waiting. Oh, when I think about what God's doing right now, what does tomorrow matter? Because God, you're so good right now that I can't really see the idea that you could really get any better, because you've already been better to me than I've been to myself. You've been for me, and you're more than the whole world against me. Right now, in this moment, while I breathe, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me in judgment shall be condemned. And this is my heritage now in this moment. The things that I can do that's in front of me right now, I could love on the children that God have blessed me with. I could love on the home, the roof that God have put over my head. I could appreciate the sounds of nature that is around me, the wind that touches my skin. I could thank God for the sun that rises and the moon that waits to take its chance in order of the great cosmos. I could wait until the stars hang in their silver sockets and rule during the night. I could wait right now. And while I'm waiting, I could just, Lord, thank you for the breath that I breathe, the things that I could do with what's in front of me right now. Maybe you haven't considered, I'm finished with you, but maybe you haven't considered that if you move your right arm, it moves. If you move your left arm, it moves. And if you can't move either one of those, maybe your legs move. Your eyes are flashing. Your ears are hearing. Your nose is smelling. Your tongue is tasting. And you ought to thank God right now, all is well. It doesn't have to be super deep. I hope you understand. You don't have to wait for the miraculous. You don't have to wait for the supernatural. But sometimes you just got to let just the simple things be deep. Are y'all hearing me? It could be just that you're depending right now on the idea that I could call up a loved one, someone that gave birth to me. I could call my mama. I could call my daddy. And I could just say, when is the last time that I told you thank you? And then the idea that I have a mother to call, or that I have a dad to call, that's another reason to say thank you. And then if they are gone, you can also just give thanks because, God, you gave me one that, though I didn't think that they did everything that they could, but they did tell you about me. Are y'all hearing me? It doesn't have to be super deep. Tell somebody it doesn't have to be super deep. Something that you really want to see results in. If you really want to see results, anybody here want to see results in some stuff? You want to see some stuff get better? Then thank God for what you already got. How are you going to want something to come and you can't appreciate what's already been done? Let me just call the roll this morning. Who got you up? Who started you on your way? If you're here and you're in this room, how did you make it safely? Are you a good driver? Is it that danger was just so absent from you that you just made your way through? Or did somebody bring you? Who brought you over? You've had some mountains to climb. Who brought you up? You've been deep in some rivers. Who got you out? Who lifted you up when everybody else casted you down? Who held your hand when you were lonely?
I'm just calling the roll now just to ask somebody, can you find any reason to get in the very present right now so that you can come in his presence? If you appreciate the P-R-E-S-E-N-T, then you can appreciate more the P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E-S. If you would appreciate for the present, then you could truly thank him for his presence. When you enjoy the very present of God, then you can truly enjoy the presence of God. Do you hear me closing? That's what I'm doing. The reason that you should not rush the process sometime is because the process is for you and for God. You want it to be over, and God says, I'm enjoying your company. You want God to go ahead and just, Lord, fix it right now. God is telling somebody, just lay your head in my shoulder and enjoy the process. Well, I guess maybe I ought to tell you this since I'm talking so much today. God is saying to you, I'm not asking you to live like this for the rest of your life, but I do need you to just live like this for right now. But while you're living like this, just as I was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, so shall I be with you. God wants you to know whatever you're dealing with, it's not forever. But in my perfect time, I'm going to turn it around. I like it the way that Hammond said it. He said, late in the midnight hour, God's going to turn it around. Yeah, yes, he will. You need to tell somebody it's not going to last always. But you ought to go ahead and appreciate the process and say, God, you have made everything perfect in its own time. Do you hear me? When I was young, I thought like a young child. I act like a young child. I did foolish things. But do you know what God did for Don? He held me in all of my foolishness. Now I am like the old prophet who can declare with great testimony, I once was young, but now I'm old. Ooh-wee. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor have I seen his seed to beg bread. Somebody say the present time is a perfect time. And finally, I want to declare what the true prophet said. They that wait. I'm through. I'm finished now. They that wait. In the process. Somebody say in the process. You got to be patient. In the process, whatever is sick, he's going to heal it. Whatever is down, God's going to lift it up. And what the Ecclesian said is that he's going to do it, and he's going to make everything beautiful in a perfect time. So stop thinking that God forgot about you. Stop thinking that this is going to last, because he says, Father, that we have in our minds some thoughts of eternity, but we can't really bring that into our conceptualization. I can't think that I'm going to go through life and that I'm just going to get old and then I'm just going to leave. Well, I got news for you. You let that be your story. I'm on my way to greater. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? What must a seed do before it becomes new fruit? It has to settle itself in the ground. So y'all see, as my body starts to age and my skin gets older, I'm getting closer. But let me tell y'all something. Don't let what's on the outside fool you. I got something on the inside. Oh, yeah, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. When I was young, I didn't have this sense, Pat. But now that I'm getting some things God removed from you so that you can have a dependency on him. And that's how he makes it perfect in his time. Things that I used to have, strength that I used to have, I can't. But I don't know whether you noticed it or not, I still don't go without. And then you'll get in that little poor, pitiful, mean state where you figure, Lord, I was there for everybody else. Now ain't nobody here for me. That's because God moved everybody. He wants you to grow a dependency on him. So when you thought the last time that you didn't have nobody, how did you get here? I'm through. If you didn't have nobody and didn't nobody help you, how did you make it here? If somebody didn't help you, then you would still be where you were or dead. God came in. Don't think that always when things are not what you would think just extremely pleasant. Just know that that is time in the process that God wants to build a closer relationship with you. I know this has been concise today, but I intended for it to be. And there are going to be more moments like this. So just feel like I'm redeeming your time for when I get long-winded, days like today. But you walked out of here with something, and that is perfect time. And you need not, if you want some wisdom, you should not forget this. Because just as sure as you walk out of here, vanity of all vanities, you're going to get somewhere and get frustrated and aggravated because you want something to be over. Uh-huh, but I got you. I want to let you know that God is in control.
Yes, he is.
And you're going to wait on him. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. It's good to see each of you here today and those of you that have joined us online. It's always so pleasant to be here with you and to share these moments with you. Don't forget that on next Sunday, we're going to be out of service next Sunday. As it is the holiday weekend and you enjoy. Also want to remind all of you to be very conscious of the extreme heats and do what's necessary to keep yourself safe. Amen. Is there anyone, and since I've been so brief, that want to express in any way some thanksgiving or something in the way of testimony? I just want to give that time. We have time for that. Anybody else that want to give way to some testimony, some response, some expression? Anyone? Anyone with the word of testimony? Anyone?
I just want to honor God.
God bless you, Sister Tracy. Yes.
And the scripture, if I was to ask to give a scripture this morning, was Ecclesiastes 3.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't a surprise to me what the word of God said, because he was confirming some things that he had already given me.
Yeah. Wow.
But in the midst of where God has you, you have to walk through where he's taking you.
That process.
Enjoy what you have when you get there.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has a plan that I'm only giving you what you can see and enjoy today.
Mm-hmm.
But my mystery is that I've prepared even more for you down the road that you can't handle right now.
Right now. Yes.
And I just thank you for that. And I was thinking you got some God-sized problems, but your finite mind is not going to get it.
God-sized problems with a finite mind. My God. Yeah.
You know, it's the thing with God that he said he's going to
do. Yeah. But ain't nothing wrong. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yes. That's right. Yes. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. My. With yourself. Yes. Yes. Slip your hands together and bless him. Hallelujah. Y'all ever heard that term, my cup runneth over?
Yes.
Amen. Tracy, our cups run over. And we just want to speak out, resound and sound the things. No coincidence that what you have been meditating on is a presentation in today, because that's how God operates. When you're truly in the will of God, you're going to discover that the person that you're sitting close to, the person that you come in contact with that you don't know, when God speaks, he speaks on the winds of the morning, and it rests upon the ears of those that hear. The revelator said, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. I know you could have said what I said this morning and probably said it better, and you're probably thinking, boy, he got through this morning in 15 seconds. But if you dwell on what I said right now, you got a message inside yourself. Turn to someone else and say, perfect timing. Perfect timing. Don't let whatever has you all the briars of life, y'all know, like bushes. Don't let the thorns and the thistles of life take the God out of you. Amen? Don't let it. Don't let what you may be enduring. Didn't you hear what I said? God said, I know you're going through, but I didn't ask you to go through this forever. But would you, for me, go through it right now? Hallelujah. Jesus hollered down from Calvary, for this cause came I into the world. Oh, but you saved others. Why don't you save yourself? God would have it to be for this moment. But I promise you, when this little scene is over right here, tell somebody, I promise you. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. You see, Gloria, it's your birthday day after tomorrow, and you're not as strong as you used to be. But when somebody look at you, you tell them, I promise you. Just keep on looking at me. That what you see right now, God just want me to deal with it. Just but for a moment, come to your feet. I love you all. I look forward to seeing you all on the second Sunday in July. What date is that so I can give a date? Should be the 14th. Is that what it is? Okay. All right. We'll look forward to seeing you all then, and you all enjoy, and most of all, be safe. Aunt Gloria, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. It ain't here yet, but happy birthday, because you know I'm going to forget on Monday. How old are you going to be? Tell everybody. 82. Hallelujah. The book of Ecclesiastes. Yeah. 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 Yes. Yes. She said it's real, real good. Amen. It's real good. So I guess you all, like Tracy said, you could have stayed at home, because when I think about the Lord had already said what I was going to already say to all of you all anyway. Amen. But we bless God for it. Happy birthday to you. And some of them can remember when they were finally turning 40. Women don't want you to know their age. But when you get to be 82, you want to tell everybody. You want to tell everybody. And if they don't ask you how old you are, you'll start saying, like, guess I'm 82 years old. They don't even have to ask you, and you be in a hurry to tell them. Hallelujah. That's when you thank him for his presence. I love you. God bless you.